We've teased you enough, but it's time. April 17, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The OG RRLC Reggie's jersey is fucking for sale.
It is for sale, and you do not want to miss it. I cannot express how much I fucking love these things. They are unreal, mate. You do not want to miss them.
We've got a high thread count. We've got a big white collar. We've got the traditional V. It is three-quarter sleeve. It is everything that the fucking RRLC is put in a jersey.
Everything we promised, and it's for sale. April 17, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, thereggies.com.au. I'll see you there.
Get amongst it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hudson lassoed by Talis. Look at Talis. He drags him.
But a champion becomes a legend. The Cody Deaver's won it.
Got it!
Yes. Welcome back to the Reggie's podcast. You're here with three blokes who could have been anything but decided to have fun instead. Boys, rugby league returns.
Rugby.
UFC, men's cricket, women's cricket, including one of the great performances you'll see in the history of cricket, men's or women's, and there's plenty more coming up on today's episode. How are we? Big weekend, massive weekend of sport as per.
Huge. Great weekend to be glued to a TV.
Was
fucking footy was back, even though it was trials, the UFC and the heartbreak around it, which we'll get to. But yeah, there was heaps on. It was fucking great.
Glorious weekend, yeah.
It's just, yeah, I'm starting to feel good.
A little bit of a teaser, warm up for what's about to come in the few months. Right.
There's trial games on in the AFL and the NRL.
Yeah.
And yeah, that fight card, that was one of the better fight cards going around.
Oh, yeah.
That, the main card, and obviously the prelims were good as well. So coming up, how are we anyway?
We're good.
How are we feeling? I'm good. I'm a bit woggy, mate. I'm a bit fucking, just dosed up on the codrils yet. But I don't have time to be sick.
No, so, we've been
flat Bicky.
We've had a fucking good month, of training, I reckon, all three of us.
It's nice. It's starting to feel good getting into the rhythm of it a little bit. Like, you put in the work, and it actually, now this probably goes against everything Reggie, but it actually is feeling good getting a bit fit.
Yeah, like, when you can notice your levels of fitness.
Putting in the hard work and actually going, I definitely wouldn't have been able to do that a couple of months
ago. It feels good, but I still haven't been able to get off the cans on the weekend.
Oh, but see, that's what
that
makes us Reggie.
Yeah.
So
might switch to middies or something.
I reckon if I didn't drink and didn't like fucking food so much, I would
that's
be
a big one.
Going pretty like going well, but I mean looking well.
You'd be able to great cheese
I've
on you.
I've said to myself, I do not give a flying fuck what I look like on this fight night. I just want to make sure I can get through me three two-minute rounds.
Oh, mate, there's been a bit of lip getting thrown, Groper, from one Edward Archdale about something to do with your ticker and something about your engine.
It's good. It's good. So have you heard anything from me?
No.
Head down, mate. Head down.
Doesn't really faze you, does it?
When I'm looking at him, because I don't listen.
Yeah.
But people obviously show me and I'm just going, if you got to talk about how well you're going and how well you think I'm not going, you're fucking nervous.
Yeah.
That's just me anyway.
You reckon he's just shaking in his boots?
Nah, he wouldn't be. He'd be going all right.
Remember, how about him pumping you up the other day, though, in the right areas for himself?
6'5", 100 kilos, yeah. Fucking idiot.
6'5". That's fucking funny.
You're about 6'4".
I'm not even that. I'm 6'3", 6'3½" probably.
You're a big figure, but yeah.
Yeah, you're a long streak, but 6'5" is a big.
I want
6'5" is fucking massive.
Klutzy'd probably be nearly that. The big cunt.
I reckon he would be. Yeah, he's a fucking big boy.
He's an apple on stilts.
But yeah, nah, look, whatever. I mean, that's his best fucking trade is talking out his gob. So,
yeah.
I mean, good on him. But you won't hear much from me, as in talking about how good I'm going.
And nah. You work in silence.
It'll just be me head down, ass up, and if he reckons he's going to do this and I'm doing that, then hey, that's all good.
Yeah. It's the right mentality.
I'll see you on fucking April 27th.
How are you feeling, Jace?
I feel good. I actually had a weekend off the piss, which I'm proud of myself for, because last weekend was a completely different story, as you know. Mm. And it rattled me till about Wednesday, so vibes are up. I'm not sick anymore, which I tend to get a lot and for long periods of time. Yeah,
it does get very sick.
Quite very often. Prone to it. Very fucking
I don't know if it's a Ranga thing. Like, is it
that's what I say.
The red, pale redheads have a weak
my
immune
system. Must have red hair or something as well, man.
Well, he's more likely to get raped by the sun. So I wonder if it's like the sickness.
But
thing
at the same time,
sickly
I
redheads
fucking struggle in winter. Like, I get sick around three times.
He's a sensitive cunt.
That's what he means.
You little but pale like, reds.
I should be accustomed to that. My heritage goes back to the colder areas.
Well, you think if you've got sick three times most winters that you'd fucking build up some sort of resistance to
it. One of your middle names carries a bit of heritage, doesn't it?
It does. Fergus.
Fergus. That's a beauty.
Peter. I've got two middle names. Got Peter Fergus. So Peter, obviously, is Pedro, because my dad's not actually Spanish, for those who don't know. My name's Peter.
Oh, his name's not Pedro.
No, it's just Peter. He hates getting called Peter, though.
So you got two full names as middle names and a nickname as your first name.
Yeah, it's a fuck fest.
How's that been? Have you been nailed lately?
Yeah, I did actually. So, like I said, I had a weekend off the piss and I just got stuck into my golf work.
Oh, yeah?
Like I like to do my weekends off.
Big dog and got
I
got a handicap
Yeah,
now.
Got my handicap sorted out.
I knew he was
Saturday.
Handicapped, yeah.
In more ways than one now.
No, good stuff. So mate, you must have been playing a bit then.
Yeah, I've been playing a fair bit. Chuck me three cards
it's
in.
It's 50.
Yeah, well, 36 is your max, but chuck me cards in and you got to become a member somewhere. And chose Calliope Golf Course.
Mm.
And they were going through the process of, like, filling out my form and that. And she goes, oh, just so you know, mate, whatever name you put down will be stuck with Golf Australia and Golf Link. So anytime you try and look up your name, it'll be this forever. So, like, you can't have your nickname, like, on there. I went, well, good, because that's my actual fucking name. Like, there'd be blokes – they would have like William or something. They're called Billy.
Yeah.
And well, Jace for Jason. It's like no.
Or Tom.
Tom.
Yeah, we've
Thomas.
been held up with a couple of big things. We've done like submitted documents with just Tom on there, and then they've just denied it automatically.
Well, you should have put your full name.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, just do your job, cunt. Don't worry about me. Yeah. You just submit it.
I know my name. I know what the fuck I'm doing.
That's like at the survey, man. This must just be a me thing that aggravates me, but it's down the same sort of path of them just do what you're doing. I walk in and you know how you might just want a drink or a quick feed, but you don't need to fill your car up?
Yeah.
So I'll pull up, just walk in, get a packet of jerky or something in a Powerade and go, just these, thanks. And they'll go, any fill? No, just them. Just those. And then this dude the other day literally again said, any fuel. After I said that, I said, no fuel. Just these, bro.
But you're at a petrol station. So.
Saying just these. No,
off the back of that, going through Macca's in the last 6 months and they go, are you using the Macca's app today? Do you get like
– my missus pounds that thing.
True.
Yeah. So it's good. I don't mind it when I want to use the fucking app, but I find every time that I go, oh, yeah, actually I will use the app. I'll redeem a free coffee. And they just go, what can I get you? I'm like, I've got a code actually. And then when I don't want it, they're like,
is it worth it? Is it worth it?
So if you're – I get coffees most mornings from Macca's on my way to work. So it builds up. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I'm the same. I don't normally eat it,
no.
But I'll get a coffee – 4 out of 5 days.
Yeah.
And I think if you do it on the app, you get a free one every fucking however many.
Yeah, like
so
five
I should,
or six.
But I don't have the app. So
nah, it's worth it.
No. But yeah, you're right. They do ask. But I think it's only if they have an order from the app that they'll ask you.
Oh, yeah, because they know one's coming soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Anyway, fucking shout out to Macca's.
Yeah, that's right.
Newcastle.
I'm heading to Newcastle. Got a bit on with Cam and Quino and Alpha Blokes and stuff down there. We've got a big four-wheel drive show that we're going to. Pretty fucking excited, actually. It'll be a fun trip. Got a bit of sparring locked in with the Daily Blue Weekly lads.
Yeah, sure. Fucking nice.
So it's a bit of Queensland versus New South Wales here. So we're going to do a bit of round robin sparring and shit, I think. Yeah, nice. You know.
Are you going to let them film you?
Yeah, I think so. Because we're filming a vlog as well for the whole trip, and I think they do a bit of filming for their Patreon thing. So I think they're going to put it on there.
But I've seen a few clips like that they've put up.
Mate, they were hooking in last week, like proper Jewies. And I'm thinking, right, eh?
Does that fire you up to want to give a bit more?
Oh, well, yeah, I suppose.
Just how to you, add on to the Origin thing as well.
Just yeah.
mate.
But, yeah. Right. But no, it'll be good, mate.
Footwork,
so
footwork, boys.
Head down there on Thursday, go straight to the gym, I think, hook in, and then we got the stuff on the weekend, pick the cars up and drive home. So obviously, the boys will be a bit short on the punch show, but we'll have a camera here for the clips, and I'll obviously do the recordings for you. Yep. And
we'll get all Tom's recordings and business as usual.
That's right.
Oi, there's always so much happening these days in the RLC Group A.
I absolutely love
how everyone just gets around it, whether it's like sport, punting stuff, bet slips, or
anything.
Even our mate with his Reggie, like he had pretty much every item that we've ever sold with a Reggie's undies hanging on it.
With the Volk thing?
Yeah.
The Volk merchandise?
And I'm like, what a legend.
So, or you get, you got him. I've actually got a bit of a shout out to Lachlan Downs is his name.
Yep.
Because it's blokes like him is why that we can fucking do what we do.
That's right.
That's because he's 100% bought the 4-in-1, the fucking baggy Reg, the more your shirt. He's got on and jumped, you know, helping out one of our sponsors, buying the jocks.
For sure.
But there was a couple of pictures in there. There was a few pictures of Jace refereeing up in Townsville.
Yeah.
And Barb's on the telly looking real good.
Yeah.
Got him at a crook time. Leading a poffice around the yard, I think. Yeah. Good win by that horse, actually.
On the back of the photos of, like, it was pounded last year. The Todd Smith photos, me. And they've been pounded again. But did you see that they sent it through to a ref and that Todd Smith actually saw it?
Bullshit.
Yes.
Of you.
Yeah. No, so not that. It was a photo that someone took and posted of him at the game, that was like, Jace back at it, warming up like an A-grader. He screenshotted that. Someone screenshotted that, sent it to an NRL ref and said, oi, this is on some podcast page. They've got a ginger bloke on there, one of the hosts, that they say looks like you. Then that from there got forwarded to Todd Smith. And he just laughed, like sent like laughing emojis back. But so Todd Smith is aware that I am Todd Smith.
Mate, is Jace becoming like just a huge online celebrity? Because like Hello Sport the other day, they couldn't get over Jace's photo for the fight night. His now, pipes. I got to admit, he does look fucking good in that photo.
It's a good photo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they said, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but like they said, that is when you look the meanest and the toughest is in your fucking
How many photos did that take for you to be like,
fuck all, man. Yeah, Gropes, you took my photos. It was probably 2 takes. I did a couple cross arms and then a couple fist up and I went, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
It was fucking one.
It is good.
And this was, how long ago was this? This was fucking last year. Yeah,
man, like November.
It was last year.
Yeah, start of December, I was.
So imagine what now.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck, we could have taken him now.
I think our wagering partner actually, Bluebet, we're in talks with them. They're going to chuck some markets up for us, which we'll be releasing later on. But, geez, after all this lip, Jace, I can't see you opening up very fucking good. Like, yeah, you're going to be a heavy favourite, short, I think.
I love it. I love the pressure.
Love the pressure, mate.
There's so much expectation on me to win, but not a single bit of it's getting to my head. I'm not going, oh, fuck. Like, I'm just going to go out there, spin his fucking jaw, and walk out of the ring like the champ I am.
Spin his jaw. That's great.
See, and that's all right because he's fighting him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can lip. That's the whole thing. The next 10 weeks, if that's what we got left, about 9 weeks, there's going to be more and more lip thrown.
That's
what happens, boys. We've got to build it up. We're selling a fight and we're going out to win.
At the end of the day, we're literally punching each other in the fucking head.
Yeah.
So there is, I wouldn't say bad blood there, but we're going to put on a show.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right.
The 10th fight of the night, though, everyone's going to be waiting for that. I can tell you that much.
Mate, that you and Jarch, that is actually the one that I am looking forward to watching personally the most.
Funny enough.
That's going to be a fucking ripper.
It's going to be good. He's, like we said before, no doubt he's training. No doubt he's training. I just don't know if he needs to be telling everyone how good he's going.
Because
I highly doubt he's going as well as he says he is.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone just do your work and then show up April 27th.
You can just see through it, you reckon, mate. See straight through it.
Mate, you're talking to the king of fucking talking yourself up.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're in his head.
Bluffing.
Yeah,
I've
yeah,
made
yeah.
a career out of it. So
can you tell the yarn about bluffing that bloke quickly at the bar? Can you please tell us that? Because this is such an impressive yarn.
It's not that good.
Oh, I think it's great that you just put it on in
your I was dating a girl. I went to this ball, like a tuxedo.
College ball.
Yeah, college ball. Yeah, back when I was 18 or maybe 19. And knew no cunt. And everyone was deadly.
Oh, I know this yarn.
Everyone was deadly, you know, because they're going to uni and they go to college and fucking all this. And I'm just some apprentice from Gladdy rocking up with his missus. So I knew no one. Everyone thinks they're that good. And I'm just like, oh, I don't really know anyone. Made this one friend, right? He was a bit of a nerdy fella and fucking hanging out with him all night, having a laugh, heap of fucking wine and champagne and that.
Mm.
And I've gone in for a piss and old mate, like who I was mates with now, my best mate.
Yeah,
for
the night, great mates.
They're just, these blokes are just into him, you know? Yeah. Like, and I was sort of like, at the start, I was like, oh, maybe it's just a bit of a joke, like a bit of a boys
like
thing.
Like we
you
do
know?
With.
Yeah. But then mid-piss, you could just tell that it wasn't.
Something wasn't right.
Yeah, he wasn't mates with him and that.
Yeah.
And then I've just gone, don't ask me why the fuck I did this. All the wine talking, I've just fucking turned around and pissed and just gone, you cunts want to leave him alone, eh? And they're just, oh, well, righto. And I said, you have got no fucking idea who I am, do you? And fucking, they've all just sort of, you know when you sort of half believe someone, so you try and laugh it off, but you leave straight away. Yeah. They all sort of went, oh, yeah, and then sort of just all shuffled out of the toilet. And old mate's just standing there. He just didn't really say much. He just went, oh, they're fucking dickheads, those blokes. And I was just like, come on, mate, let's go get another fucking beer.
Oscar goes to
grapes. You would have been thinking, thank fuck.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going, whoo.
You don't care who the fuck you are. And then you just got 3-1 in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
As you were saying it too, you would have been going, please just fucking think I'm a bluer.
Fuck, that's good, man. That's so fucking
well
good.
But you just see through, like, you could tell they're all soft city boys, you know?
Yeah. King's College, probably. Yeah.
Sort of blokes who sort of reside
and
in
since
Sydney,
then,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since then, I've gone. 6 fights on the street for 0 wins.
But, mate, you know who I am. Yeah, didn't you get knocked out 6 times? Yeah.
I've never thrown one sober. I'll tell you that much.
That's right.
You've thrown plenty.
Oh, I have now, actually. Months, yeah. But anyway, how about we rip in?
Yeah, let's rip talk about some sport.
Yeah.
This is a great game.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Enough about fucking Jake. Arch gold. the league boys. It was back. It was half back anyway.
Rugby
so
was
you got,
back.
Had the trial games, but straight up on Friday night we had the Indigenous versus the Maori All-Stars game.
Yep.
It was probably what we expected the way of skill, and the weather didn't help that at all.
Yeah, no, I definitely think I was going to say I was a bit disappointed with the I suppose what I was expecting, but the weather, like you said, when it's raining like that, there's only just dry footy with those two cultures is so fucking
but
fun to watch.
It's the fact that it was the first game and they're all going to be gassed
after
20.
Yeah, exactly.
And
still
then the weather didn't help
there
either.
A couple of like good performances in the middle, I think. Xavier Wilson, the bloke from Broncos, he played a couple of games off the bench.
Isn't
he
a
is
fucking
massive ass
huge.
He's
he
not even
huge.
The fucking biggest. That Ben Takura for Bronx, like 6'9" as well, but Willison just stood out on that paddock.
Yeah.
Tarpany as well. Tarpany is just a workhorse.
I think you have to be a freak of nature to be able to play rugby league and be 6'9".
He's 2 meters long.
Because like huge. A lot of blokes 1.99. That are that tall would just get found out around the ruck.
Yeah.
Like you get running unders line on a big bloke like that.
Can't
not
move
laterally.
Yeah.
So it shows the athleticism that he's got that far at that big. You
fucking
know, it's pretty
Broncos
impressive.
Got some big boys coming through.
Yeah.
Hammer was good as well, I thought.
Oh,
the
he was
centers,
unreal.
He's just so fucking
good.
Slick.
I am so pumped that he's a Queenslander and that he's fit into that center position so well. Just lock that fucker in for years.
His career revival since going to the Finns has been huge. Yeah, like Cowboys kind of counted him out a bit, and then going to the Finns just wouldn't say his career was completely down and out, but fuck, it's gone up since he's gone to the Finns.
There was a little stage there, I reckon, where Queensland, we always just we get it. But
obviously.
There was a stage there where, like, our fastest bloke was, like, Val, who was quick, But then you have the Fox on the other team. Mm. Hammer will fucking match it with the Fox, man, oh, pace-wise. Like, we've got that. We have got speed.
It's like a when he runs too, it just looks – you know when it just looks easy?
Yeah, just gliding.
He glides. Him and, like, players like him and Walshy that just, like, glide across the field.
Yeah, Walshy's another one.
Yeah.
Fucking
no, it was very – I'm fucking pumped to see Hammer in good form.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Do you reckon he'll play fullback or centre for the Finns?
I reckon he'll play centre.
Yeah.
He'll play fullback.
There you go.
Don't know yet.
Because there's they got a few blokes in that team that are like can bounce around that centre wing and fullback. Asako can play fullback. Tessie New can play fullback.
But he's so good on the wing, Asako. Like, I think
yeah, he's a try scoring machine.
You don't want to move him.
Yeah,
so maybe Hammer does play fullback. What did they do in their trial? Who was playing fullback?
They've announced a squad for this weekend for the trials, and I'm pretty sure they've actually named a pretty decent team. So I'll quickly
check. They must have named a decent one, or the Titans just named a real shit one, because I think they were paying $1.10 or something.
Yeah, right.
So Hammer's playing fullback this weekend.
Does he?
Yeah. Okay. And then like Asako's in the wing.
Yeah.
Because you got Herbie in the centres now too.
Herbie the dog.
Yeah.
And Tessie knew.
Yeah, as like if he is. I forgot about Herbie. Yeah. Hammer will be at fullback.
And Tessie on his day is pretty fucking good. Like, I know it was only against Capris in that trial game they did a couple of weeks ago, but he's got a hat trick.
Yeah,
he was fucking dominant.
I need to see it happen before I'll give Tessie a fucking rap. In an NRL game. Yeah. He's fucking...
He's had glimpses.
He sucks. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of games where he just gets lazy, I think, and just goes to water. You don't fucking see him for 80 minutes.
Yeah. Did the big banana farmer have a run? Tommy Flegler?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if he played on the weekend. Is he named this weekend?
Yeah, he's been named. So Finns are pretty well named their best side. Yeah. They got Bromwich and Flegler in front row. Kafusi in second row. Ewan Aitken's playing second row as well.
Ewan who else? Yeah, right. See, that's another one where he's like super solid, but he's not anything special.
Aitken. No.
Yeah.
I think it was a good pickup when they got him because he came from Warriors, didn't he?
I think they'll go a bit better this year. Like last year at the start, they went well, but they had like a solid 17 or a few more, but they didn't have like the depth. I think this year and next year is when they start building that depth where they have blokes who could probably be playing NRL in other clubs that are not good enough at the moment. And I think that's what you need to be a fucking powerhouse in
the NRL. I think they're a good like top fucking five half, like marquee half away from being a top eight side.
Yeah.
They are like, you look at that 1-13, that forward pack, couple of my older blokes, but like Tom Gilbert and Tom Flegler coming through, and they're fucking weapons.
Mate, I rate Gilbert.
Kafusi had one of his best years last year after
when he played.
When he wasn't suspended. But then you got Herbie, who I'd say is...
Mate, he was a
game. Based Herbie off form last year,
I reckon he was better than game. He was better than Stags for Bronx last year.
100%.
Oh, like, by miles.
I would rather have lost Katoni than lose
Herbie. I just can't believe we've let so many go. I know the salary cap and everything plays into all
and
that.
And like blokes like Ezra, who come into the scene after that year, like that's a huge jump of what his pay would have been and now what he's worth.
I know, massive. Like,
if a bloke does that, it sort of fucks the club a little bit because they go,
and then it's hard too because you're like, I know he's so young and the ceiling's you know going to move for him, but you go, or can he back that up year after year after year?
Yeah, I think you look at players like him and Walsh. They're just generational.
Walsh is on like 400 at the moment.
And his contract runs out at the end of this year.
I know.
But that's why I think
he'll be, with the increase in that, he'll be on 1.2.
I know.
Walsh. He has to be.
Kevy's come out and said he's not going anywhere. So we're definitely re-signing him. But like, I think we've got the space now because Flegler took up a fucking lot of our salary cap. Mm. So did Capewell, who's gone as well, and Herbie. Those are three of our 13 gone. We've got young blokes that have just come in to replace them.
Yeah.
We've got Pierre Coura come in. Dean Mariner will come in.
He went well. I watched some highlights of Pierre Coura.
Pierre Coura,
He killed it, two tries.
He fucking ran some great lines.
He's good.
Scored a couple
defensively
of tries
as well on that edge. He is so solid. His second try was he fucking strained his MCL.
No, I didn't.
So he's doubtful for round one, but.
But yeah, he looked really good.
Like, yeah, that's what I thought. Seeing that, because like, he was great off the bench last year, and I thought hopefully he can like blossom a bit this season.
Yeah.
He's got the perfect chance now to fill in for Capewell. And that trial, even though it was against depleted Cowboys, I still think he is going to be fucking great. We've got such good young talent to come in. Similar to a way that, like, it's a big comparison, but when Penrith started to lose all their stars, you know, they just pumped through some young bloke that would just come in and they would just replace, like, Burton, Kickow, all of them blokes.
Mm.
Broncos, I think, have the potential to do the same now. Like, we'll lose players, but we've got these young guns that are just nipping at the heels to get in.
That are keen too.
Fuck yeah. Dylan Mariner's shown glimpses. Piakura. Corey Jensen will probably go straight into front row for Flegler as well.
Boy, he's a big unit. Just quickly, do you know who I think in the next couple of years is going to be an absolute wrecking ball in the NRL? Francis Molo.
Really? Do you reckon?
He is solid as fuck. And aggressive. Like, yeah, as in early on, I remember back in the day, right, here's a yarn. When I was playing, it might have been under 16s or 18s, like Q Cup. It was Cyril Connell or Mel Meninga, one of the two.
Mel Meninga.
We might have heard this, but tell it again.
Yeah, but I just remember I was playing second row. We made the semi-final against Redcliffe, I think, Dolphins, and we're playing at their home ground, and I was marking that cunt. Mm. And he was the second row, and I was like,
every run.
Like, looking over, just thinking, just dive at the legs. And he pretty much as big as he is then. And but I've just been watching him, obviously, like we're playing with Oatsy back then. Francis was on the other team. And a few lads like Corey Jensen, he was playing the same age for different teams. But just watching Francis come through, you know, we're saying, like, props take a bit to mature and that.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's 30 now, same age as we are. And I just think him now in the next couple of years, he's proper grown into his body and he's just aggressive as fucking hard.
Fucking oath.
I just think he'll be a solid prop.
Every run is like full pelt, such intent. Mm. Like, he is an absolute workhorse.
Can he play? How many minutes does he play though?
I don't know. It's
a big thing.
I just think for solid games, like, maybe you could have another prop that lasts for longer, but he is such a good cunt to have on your team. Like, yeah, that impact of just, if you're running at him, you know he's going to try and just drive you into the ground. Yeah. I just think those props are so important in your team. The Waria Hargreaves, the fucking, even the bloke that Roosters just signed off Penrith.
Spencer Lenu.
Like, those lads who just come on and you just, they're just a handful.
Yeah.
That is a great example. Spencer Lenu comes off the bench and is just a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Mm. It's timed well. Like, just announced today, Jabir Hargreaves doesn't say retiring or what he's doing, but he's leaving the NRL at the end of the season.
Well, it makes sense, man. I feel like he's been there for fucking ages. Yeah. Like,
he is getting a bit long. Like, fucking 12, 13 years.
Mm.
But he's a bloke who just brought fucking fire to every game.
Well, how smart's that from the Roosters? Bringing Spencer Lenu in as he's getting a bit older. Yeah. Like, he's a bit smaller, but it's the same aggression fucking.
Yeah.
He could go over the Super League. Maybe that's what they're hinting at there by leaving the NRL.
Because if you were retiring, you'd just fucking say you're retiring. You wouldn't say leaving the NRL.
Did you see Tarek Sims plays over the Super League?
He just smashed
fucking
nose.
He just pounded
nose into the earth. When I say nose, that's Blake. Is it Blake?
George Williams,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, holy, that was a great shot.
That was like as good a shot as you'll see in this day and age.
Yeah.
Like, with the rules and everything.
And give him some too.
Yeah. He was always that little, like, niggler. If he'd do something good, he'd let you know about it.
Well, I saw a perfect video comparison of when he did it to Pappy during COVID.
Oh,
exact same hit and
big
just fucking put it over him. And then it was Tarek Sims doing the same thing. Like, pretty well identical hit, but 10 times harder.
Coming from a forward, whenever you get the chance to do that to a good half back from the other team, you tell them all about it until you fucking get up.
Big fucking,
it's 100%.
Big man putting it over the little half. I was talking to one of my mates about today. He's like, oh, what a hero. And I was like, I'd fucking do the same.
But when it happens,
he's living the whole time that
I'd
half.
I'd do it to a winger and be like,
But when it happens to your half back, it's a different story.
Yeah, like, what a fucking hero.
Right, you tough cunt.
Big Coy.
Yeah,
poor
boy.
Poor old Coy just used to get fucking late shotted all the time.
Because
he was a bit of a gun.
Mm. That was a great shot though, Gropes.
Yeah, it's fucking big shot. And that's just prime example of what players like Waria Hargreaves could go and do over in the Super League.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know.
Living in England
for 2 years. The standard's obviously not as high as it is in the NRL.
Yeah.
That's why they all sort of go over there to in the retirement.
Well, it sort of shows you too, like when lads like Brody Croft, like when he wasn't bad in the NRL, but he goes over there and kills it.
Yeah,
solid here. It's got to show you something there to be like, he's obviously always been a good player.
Yeah.
But if he can be pretty good here, all right, standard, then go over there and kill it.
Yeah. How many former NRL players go there and they're fucking Man of Steel within 2 seasons? Who was he played for Wigan last year and he used to be in the NRL and he won Man of Steel?
I'll tell you who would be able to tell us. Yeah. Tommy Carr.
He definitely would. I know his face. The name's on the tip of my tongue, but I
anyway,
can't
Penrith
right
are
now.
Over there now. I see.
Yeah, when's that on?
24th.
Yep. They're training at Manchester City.
I know. I saw
they're actually taking it pretty serious, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like one of the, because I was sort of going, oh, I'll see how it goes. But I think I saw one of the messages come through saying the fucking they're taking it pretty serious.
I was thinking too with the weather, it's probably fucking a little bit colder, but it wouldn't be any worse than a bloody cold Friday
in Western Sydney.
Fucking Canberra. Like in Penrith. You know what I mean? Like Penrith is inland a bit, isn't it? Obviously. Yeah. I reckon it'd be fucking pretty cold.
Cold, mate. Canberra gets fucking cold too. Yeah. Like some of those.
Oh, you play a game in fucking Canberra. Anyway. Freezing, man.
No, that's this weekend, so that'll be good to watch.
Fucking nice.
It'll be on at about 6 o'clock too, Sunday morning. So
really? Like I'll probably still be up.
Fucking
no. You'll miss it.
Quinn's sitting there just shaking his head.
Quinn knows, mate.
He does. That's one thing he knows.
He'll be filming me.
Yeah. I fucking bet you he won't be.
No, I would have tucked him in by then, mate.
Chained him up.
One thing, did you see... the last try in the Charity Shield on Saturday night.
I didn't watch the Charity Shield,
so
unfortunately.
Bunnies versus Dragons, as it always is. And you're talking about, like, the bonus points they get for line breaks.
Offloads,
all this. So Bunnies were up by, like, 20, and they had a kick into touch for a penalty. Hooter's gone, last play, and they're fucking flicking the ball around because if they get one more line break, they get the bonus point.
They get it?
They've flicked it around and I forgot his name. One of the centers, I think, has just put in this little chip from like 10 meters out. Absolute shank. Bounces perfectly. Richie Kenner comes through and scores. And they get the
is that a line break?
Yeah, well, you've got to break the line to score
chase,
a try.
Yeah. Get fucked.
So they got line breaks, got the bonus point. There you go. After the Hooter went.
Imagine if they needed a couple of offloads and they're just running at the defense.
Sitting there, just running back. Which is,
yeah. Tell you who impressed me was I watched a bit of it. The Raiders were just on.
That second half.
Fucking on.
Great team to do it too as well.
Fuck yeah. That second half, they turned one on.
So the Bronx, but it was 16-14 or something. I don't mean to go back to the Bronx, but.
We will.
Yeah,
no, it was just funny because I was sitting at Dossie's watching the UFC and we're sort of flicking when the in between fights. And a couple of the, well, most of them there are Cowboys fans.
Yeah.
And I'm like, boys, who gives a fuck? It's a trial game. Like, why are we flicking back? Let's just, you know, leave it on. Oh, no, it's for bloody bragging rights. And they're all up and about. They're like, this is our Reggie's team. It's 16-14. And now I ended up leaving straight after the fight, Volk fight finished to go back home. And then I was doing shit outside and I checked the score and I just dropped a little text and I went, hey, boys, how'd that game end up?
Because I think in the second half, Broncos started to put on some of their reserves. So Tristan Saylor come on. Bucky's electric, good, man.
Yeah, he was going well, wasn't he? I watched the highlights.
He is prime, man.
Him and Walshy just linked up perfectly so many times.
I don't know how we're going to keep him. While Walsh is there.
So,
because why would you stay at the Broncos when you're never going to play?
Other than origin times, the only time he really gets to run. But Kevy hinted, he said after the trial against Wynnum, I think, he went, there could be a spot in the 17 for him. So
yeah, but where?
That's what I do they put him and Tyson Smoothie on the bench and then run two forwards?
The big banana.
Oh. That's what.
He actually is pretty solid, but.
Yeah, I still probably think Corey Page should be on there instead.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
AFL also rapidly approaching.
Yes.
Jace is fucking ripped into a bit of research.
So, yeah. We're nearing the season opener, their old opening round.
Oh, the round OP. One.
And
the OR, sorry. OP.
Thought it'd be good to cover a few off-season moves and some trades that you may not have seen. So a few big ones that stood out to me. We got Ben McKay, brother of Harry. He's been traded to Essendon for a first-round pick. So keep in mind, pretty much all of these have been traded for draft for picks.
Yeah.
Except couple that I've mentioned off other players. Brody Grundy, quickly becoming a journeyman. He's been traded to the Swans. He? So, and as well as Taylor Adams has moved to Sydney as well. So Sydney have done a, I think that's a pretty good
that's
pickup.
Nice for them.
And Brody Grundy still got it. So I don't know.
Yeah, you can't go having that season that he had at Collingwood to then.
Yeah, because he was at Demons last
that's
year.
That's right. I know, but fucking before that played. He had a really good year. And then he went and barely played. You can't go from being an elite, like possibly the best ruckman in the game, to that and not, you know, have a bit of residual.
Exactly. And I think Melbourne was never going to work for him being behind Max Gawn either. So
silly trade.
Yeah. another one, a big move that pretty well most AFL fans do know about is Jack Ginnivan to Hawthorn. That happened pretty well just after the grand final.
Yeah, I've got that in here just to say that it's going to be hard for me to cheer for Ginnivan.
Why is that?
I don't know. Just
not a fan of him.
Well, he's a Collingwood player and he was a bit of a cult figure there. So it was.
He was.
It was good to boo
Remember
him.
When he fucking came on and was it the Anzac Day game where he just killed it?
Oh, I don't know if it was Anzac Day or if it was a final, but I do remember the place just going off its
he
fucking
like
head.
Like five
man.
Goals or something and people fucking loved him.
I hope that it's not a disaster trade like Chad Wingard has been for Hawthorn because. He was so good at Port and it was like, yeah, we've got Wingard. He's a small forward. He's going to do this and that. And he's just either been injured or he hasn't been in form and it just hasn't worked. But I don't know. We'll see how we go. I'm actually holding a – Hawthorn think showed some promise last year to at least compete for that maybe 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 spots. You know,
in the next couple of years, I actually – As much as I don't like Hawthorn being a Geelong fan, I can respect that fucking youth you've got coming through. Ginnivan will just add to it. But you've also got Jack Gunston
coming
from
back,
the Lions, coming back from the Lions, who will bring that experience as well. I think you've got a good group. He's past his time. He's definitely...
We'll see. We'll see how that one goes. But it's good to have him back because he won 100%. Three flags with Hawthorn.
Yeah.
So.
I think in the next couple of years... Hawthorn could definitely
just the way they're playing, man. So when they were competitive in games last year, they were Sam Mitchell coaches, and they were playing like they used to play when he was playing. If you get what I mean, like he's an ex Hawthorn player.
Yeah, right.
He's now the coach, and they were playing like they used to play.
They were playing like a premiership team, not like a team that had a squad. To be fucking 60.
No, but they were holding the footy and chipping it around like they used to. Yeah. And they used to rack up the uncontested possessions because they'd hold the footy for minutes at a time rather than just that frantic bomb it down, let your small forwards do the work like Richmond did when they kept winning. And I was like, oh, this is prime. This is how we used to play.
Yeah.
Was back in the when we won the three.
Well, that's probably all Sam Mitchell knows as well.
Probably, yeah. But no, it was good to see. It obviously failed a few times because they...
You were like a... Two or three quarter team at times.
No, but they were just young. Yeah. And their skills weren't as good as obviously they were back in when Sam was playing. They had an elite team. So they were just young and their skills let them down sometimes. So keep doing it.
They'll get there. Anyway, I definitely think
look out for Carlton's the one to look out for me.
Oh,
though.
Yeah, 100%. Another big move was Asava Radigalia from Geelong. He's going to Port Adelaide. As a Geelong fan, that is a big blow, I think, because he was so fucking handy where he could play full forward. You could put him in the ruck. This big Fijian that was just a machine on the field, man. And lastly, Xavier Dersma is gone to Essendon.
Oh, and he's a fucking, I don't know about him.
Yeah, he
carries on. He scores goals and then shoots the bow and arrow and shit.
But he's got the talent there.
Yeah, but he's a bit of a show pony.
Fucking oath, a lot of them are. Anyway. Same with Ginnivan. Ginnivan's a show pony too.
Yeah, he doesn't go shooting bows though.
No, it's good.
He scores a goal.
Just gets caught doing lines. Yeah. Did he got caught?
I don't know about
Bailey
that.
Smith.
It doesn't sound like a Ginnivan.
Nah, yeah, Ginnivan did get caught with the bag, I'm pretty sure. I'm fairly sure on that.
What a naughty boy. Bad boy. What a bad boy.
What a loser.
As we mentioned last week, and you said Carlton are the team to look out for this year. I think it's now or never for them, as well as Lions. Even D's. I reckon. D's have still got that pretty similar squad they had to win in the premiership, and they're all in their prime still. So they've got no reason that they can't be pushing for the flag this year because they went out straight sets last year.
And, the D's did, So Barb's was at our house actually when that happened. At my house.
That was an epic game. But few surprises I think we'll have this year. Like I said, Hawthorn. North Melbourne, I think they'll continue to improve with Alex de Clarkson.
They'll improve.
They're not going to be pushing for the eight. That's not my point. But in the next 2 or 3 years, if Alex de Clarkson can stay there and build that team up, they can fucking – because keep getting draft picks. The way that draft works, you're going to have that system coming through.
Yeah, you just got to retain them. But
after
their initial contract.
There's not much of a draw to go to North Melbourne, is there?
I reckon there fucking definitely is. You just got to, like, I don't know. North Melbourne was a massive club.
Huge.
Huge club.
20 years ago.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's there. The history's there.
The draw at the moment would be playing under Alex de Clarkson. So I don't think they're going to get many players coming in, but if they can hold their drafts, like people who come through the draft system.
Success will bring people in. But
that's right, another one that flies under the radar pretty well every year is GWS.
GWS, I knew you were going to say that. It's fucked. They just play finals every
year. Everyone fucking writes them off and then they scrape into the eight and then they come out and make a prelim or a grand final.
They get like 3,000 people to a home game.
Yeah.
And fucking everyone just goes, oh, who are they, you know, what's going on here? There's no atmosphere there, but they just win.
They just fucking win. Just they win show heaps up in a game. So honestly, don't be surprised if they fucking make a prelim or a grand final this year.
So what do you think next week we do our predicted eights?
Yeah.
Definitely.
For both?
For both, I reckon.
Sports, rugby and AFL.
Yeah. We'll do like a predicted ladder, who we think's going to finish where, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
My predictions weren't too bad in the footy last year. I think I just had Roosters to win the minor premiership.
I think the Roosters going on that big run at the end sort of saved the eights a bit.
Yeah. They weren't even looking like making the eight.
Nah, they got in there and then they ended up, because they made the prelim in the end, it was like, we knew. Yeah. We told you they'd be there or thereabouts. Yep. But no, everyone sort of had them in penciled in to the top 4, 100%.
Yeah.
Didn't end up happening. But
well, they've still got the squad. Their squad's got only better this year as well. So you can just never count out the Roosters start of the year, can you?
They've got too much money. We need to start giving Walshy a couple of fucking a boat or like a few cars or something.
So
he doesn't ask for much money.
Third-party deals to keep him in. Yeah, that's true.
The cricket, lads. Heaps of cricket again. We're winding. The cricket is winding up domestically.
Yeah.
But there's still going to be heaps throughout the year. The Aussies actually play tonight. Well, tomorrow. Tonight, as you're listening, first T20 over in New Zealand.
Yeah, righto.
I reckon that's going to be a good tour, eh? Really good tour. Definitely.
Are we playing ODIs as well? Or is it just T20s and tests?
T20s, then tests, then possibly after. I haven't looked that far ahead, but you got the first three T20s starting tonight, which will be good. But we're going to start with the women because over the weekend, you saw one of the great performances take place at the Wacca. It was awesome to see cricket at the Wacca in Perth.
Yeah.
For one, it was Test cricket. Annabelle Sutherland, boys. Australia bowled first. It's like a standalone Test match. So the way the girls normally do it is you'll have your T20s and ODIs in the Test match and they'll all combine into points for who wins because you just have the one game of Test cricket.
Yeah.
But we bowled first. Skittled them for 76, you know, just after lunch on day one. And then we went out. We were 3 for 12 at one stage and we ended up making 570.
Yeah, right.
But Annabelle's taken 3 for 19 off 9 overs when we skittled them and then went out and made 210 off 250 balls.
Friggin' stop hell.
We led by 500. When we declared after the first innings.
Fucking hell.
So, ended up bowling them out for 215 in their second dig and Sutherland took 2 for 11 off 8 overs in the second. So she's taken 5 wickets and scored 200 runs and only batted once.
Wow. So that sounds like a bit of a sniff for captain.
Oh, it's a big sniff.
That's
big
a fucking sniff. Big sniff.
Unreal, big old whiff, man. Big how good's that? So just you won't see – you will not see a performance like that in men's test cricket, I don't think.
No, unless not at all. The closest we get is Bison, who takes a couple of wickets and gets like 70 runs and saves an innings.
Yeah. Or Jadeja could do it for India. Like that's he made 100 true, on the weekend and he took wickets as well. So, but to make a double and then that's take five huge, far, that's man. Just fucking that unreal. Huge. So we've ended up winning by 200 or more than 200 runs and an innings.
Yeah.
So
who did you say we were versing again?
South Africa.
Yeah.
It was a punishing. Unreal. The Poms are also, they're down 2-1 now in their series against India, which is good to see.
That's great.
Rohit Sharma, Ravindra Jadeja made hundreds in the first innings for India, and then that Jaiswal again made a double in their second innings though. So,
like we said, that is that bloke. They're worried about Kohli not being there, but let's just step in.
214 not out from only 230 balls, man.
Yeah, pretty good.
Going really well. Basically batted England out of the game. I think they needed 580 or something to win. And it was just funny because they've gone back a year when all this, hey, we're going to save Test cricket by being aggressive. There was they said, we believe we can chase 600.
I did see that and then they didn't.
We believe we can chase 600. They got bowled out for 122. So how's some really, really bad shots were played.
Would have been a bit of a salt in the wounds as well because old mate got, what'd you say, 214 off 230?
So yeah, exactly.
Fuck your baz ball.
Exactly.
Look at my strike rate off 230 balls.
Yeah.
Wow.
Joe Root played a reverse sweep in the first innings off, can't remember if it was
Bumrah. Was it a pace ball?
Yeah. If it was Bumrah or whoever else was bowling seamers for him.
Shammy.
Reverse sweep. It's literally come straight off the face and gone to second slip. and old mate, it was a great catch because it wasn't a nick. It was like a full-blooded reverse sweep sort of thing. Yeah. And he's old mate's just taken it.
There's a fine line between baz ball and playing your shots.
That was silly.
And reverse sweeping a fucking pace bowler just because.
It comes off for him every now and then though.
Yeah.
Which is then, great because then he thinks, oh, I'll do it again.
Yeah.
You know, like
keep it coming. Keep doing it in the ashes.
I don't know. And there's been a few English media personalities come out and say, it's almost like everybody's just waiting for England to fail. They're just waiting for them to mess this up so they can say, we told you so. And I'm like, yep.
Fucking oath we are.
Yep.
One very specific podcast is.
Yeah.
Poor old Johnny Bairstow was back in the news too. Terrible, terrible review in the first dig. So it spun. He went back. It hit him on the knee roll. It was hitting the middle.
And he's going back. And
he reviewed it. So they lost the review there. And then in the second innings, he tried to play a sweep shot. And this was the funny part. So it looked plumb. Like live, it looked plumb. He didn't review because of what happened in the first innings. And it was just clipping. So he still would have been out if he reviewed it. But if the umpire give it not out, it would have stayed not out. So it was just funny, like the demons in his head about the first innings review.
In the last 12 months, imagine those fucking demons.
The poor bloke, a stat went up. He has now made the most ducks against India out of any other cricketer.
And there not was just England, any cricketer.
Any cricketer. Wow. There was a list of people and all of them were bowlers. Like we're making the ducks, and he's at the top. He's the only batsman in like the top 10 or something.
That is cunt. Not a stat.
It was like fucking Shane Warne, bloody all these bowlers that have made all these ducks
is it
against India.
Just against India,
just
or is it
against
in
India,
like the subcontinent, or is it?
I thought I'm pretty sure it was against India.
So even on his home turf,
not
the bloke
yet.
Still struggles.
I think so.
Yeah, well, anyway, it wouldn't surprise me. Poor,
we need him,
poor
to,
red
keep,
cunt
we need him to keep going okay, though.
Yeah.
Because we want him to be in the team.
Oh, that's right.
For the next
Ashes.
We need
Ashes.
Him
I want and Ollie I to
need
be
him,
there.
I need him there
I need
so
him.
I can fucking spray him.
Yeah.
I need him and Ollie Robinson there for five tests.
I want to write a song about Johnny.
Yeah.
And get 200 cunts to learn it and just pound him with it for 5 days. Yep.
For 5 days.
I might dress up as him and just shove a pillow under my shirt and walk around everywhere.
Oh, well, if you keep going to Macca's all the time, you won't need the pillow.
Walk around on
mate,
your
it's
knees.
Just for coffees, mate.
Yeah. So that was good.
That is great. I love
2-1
that.
Now in the series. It's still been a good series nonetheless, even though that was... I think they end up losing by 430-odd runs, which is an absolute hiding.
Just pounding.
Yeah. Sheffield Shield was good. Massive, some massive scores. Gaz bowled. So Gaz played for New South Wales against Victoria.
That hurts.
New South Wales got bowled out for 250 and then Victoria made 470 odd.
Yep.
And Gaz bowled 52 overs.
Oh, what? What a stint.
He bowled a whole. He bowled a whole ODI by himself.
He got bowled 52 overs and took 5 for 150. So
was that in over like 2 days, 3 days?
Oh, it wouldn't have been three. It would have been a day and a half.
Surely, you reckon huge, someone like Gary, right, especially a spinner, and the amount of balls he's bowled, do you dead set reckon you could blindfold him and he'd be pretty on the money?
I reckon.
Like,
yeah.
Foot placement, it is.
It'd be hard with a pace bowler. That's what I mean. That'd be weird running.
Yeah.
But because he's walking in most of the time, I reckon he could dead set shut his eyes or blindfold and he could do his run up.
Placement at the start of his run up.
I'd love to see him do six balls and just see how he can group them in that.
It'd be fucking, if he nails his areas.
I reckon he would nail where he lands.
Yeah.
Like as his foot, I mean, because he's done it so many times.
No, he wouldn't bowl no balls.
It'd still be weird, but.
Yeah.
Fucking oath.
Give it a go, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you hear this, blindfold and bowl six balls.
Well, he'd listen. So,
like, you have to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course he doesn't. Well, Gilly would have got him onto it. Adam, I mean.
Yeah. He's in the sheds telling all the boys, handing them out baggy reggies and saying, I'm putting them up with your fucking green, mate.
So, Victoria had the game won, right? Like I said, they made 470. They're in front by 200 odd runs. Had New South Wales 8 for 116, still 70-odd runs to make, just to make Victoria bat again.
Yeah.
Rain and bad light stopped play at around midday on the final day. Didn't go back out. The definition of saved by the fucking rain, man. So, but there were some big scores in the other games. Tassie made 537, I think.
Holy shit.
Caleb Jewell made a double ton. It was good to see Greeny boys. So Green and Bancroft saved the game for WA on the last day. They both made hundreds, not out. I think they ended up 2 for 220-something, you know, trying not to lose the game. So that was good to see that Green made runs.
Greeny was like 91 and he, as soon as he got in the 90s, he just teed off. And he had two balls, he went to 100.
I think it must have been getting close to the end of the day.
Yeah, hated the nervous 90s and went, fuck this.
Bancroft ended up 100 not out exactly.
Yep.
And then Green was pretty similar. So that was good to see.
Bancroft will just keep batting to the level he can until I think Australia inevitably goes, come in, mate.
Yeah, Steve Smith, go back to batting at 4.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was good. Queensland won too. So there was two draws.
Well, that's what we love. Queensland.
Two draws winning. And then Queensland got the win over South Australia down in Adelaide.
Nice.
But, yeah, like I said, first T20 tonight over in New Zealand between us and the Kiwis should be a great tour.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to. Obviously, I'm looking forward to the test matches, but should be just a good tour in general.
Will Warner be playing in that T20 series?
Should be.
Yeah, right.
Should be. He's still playing T20 cricket until the World Cup. I think he's going to retire after the World Cup.
Surely Fraser McGurk's got to replace him.
Oh, yeah. So, obviously, watching him in those ODIs and that, it was good to see, you know, teed off. But I feel like he just tees off too much.
Yeah.
Like, every shot he's trying to hit a six. True. And it's never going to work like that. There's going to be times he'll make fucking 130 not out and it'll be awesome and everyone will go, that's amazing. But...
People said the same about Warner when he started.
Yeah, but how much more controlled is he, though, when he got... Yeah,
a lot. I think with experience, though...
Surely, yeah.
He surely will see that.
Yeah. He's just young and keen and wants to put on a show now.
Yeah, well, he's made a name for himself by doing it as well.
Yeah. Righto, fellas, we've got to do it. We've got to talk about it. We've got to talk about the UFC. Before we talk about how devastating the fucking loss was... Did you know Kingy was over there?
Yeah.
And went?
Yeah, I was talking to him that day, man. Shout out to him. I've got it in my notes here. Shout out to Kingy, who was at the event.
He was there, yeah.
What a fucking event to go to.
Had to go there for a wedding
the
and went up.
The bloke. What a roller coaster. Like, he was every UFC card, Kingy and I are texting each other.
Yeah.
We both fucking love it.
Yeah.
And, like, what do we think and this and that and our multis and what we got on and this and that. He was so excited to watch Volk Luke. Like, I was that shattered at Camo's house, just on the chair watching it on TV.
Yeah.
If you were there with that build-up, watching Whittaker win as well and being on this high, ready to watch Volk just fucking mop the floor with him, and then to watch him just get fucking slept.
Yeah, proper
against
slapped.
The cage. Like, I probably would have cried if I was there. Like, seriously.
Yeah. Like you said, being there, how shit that would have felt. You saw Volk lose to Islam.
Yeah.
Like, that but was that a fight was, where it was like
a great fight.
And I reckon he won. And he was daring to be great in that fight. This 100%. Fight was him going back to his territory where he hasn't lost in 5 title defenses. And
went to sleep.
And the press conference, I loved old man Volk and stuff. Yeah. And I just don't love it as much now.
After
he got drilled. Yeah. I'm like, ooh.
Maybe he is. Yeah.
Maybe after 2 knockouts in a row, you are a bit old.
Look, here's the thing, you guys. Like, I just reckon, fuck everyone who's writing Volk off, though, now. And they're like, you're seeing these comments going, he should retire, he's done, fuck off.
Every
cunt.
Time,
like, the last couple of years, it's because there hasn't been anyone good enough to fight him in the featherweight division is why he's been trying to do this shit against Islam.
Yeah, 100%.
Islam's beat him twice. He's come back down. This is the only one that I'm taking as like a proper righto. He fucking lost. He got drilled. So I reckon I really hope he has like 6 months off fighting, fucking just gets back to feeling good, and then he deserves a rematch against Ilya in Spain because if you're a dominant champion like that for that fucking long, no matter how it finishes, you deserve to...
So you reckon no matter how it finishes, he should?
In that scenario.
Yeah.
Not if, like, you've defended your belt once and you get beaten. Volk has been a fucking, featherweight goat.
Yeah,
so 100%. I'm like, if he wants to do it, I reckon give him that chance. And then after that fight, depending on what happens, that's when you can have the conversation and be like, righto, where, like...
It was, so for me, like, watching it... I just thought straight away in round one, even when it was, you know, it was very competitive, even when Volk was throwing really fast jabs and Ilya was just slipping, like, and he was so fast, and I'm going, fuck me, this cunt's quick. Volk's quick, don't get me wrong, but I was just going, Jesus Christ, this cunt's quick.
Volk looks good, but you just went, fuck, I thought, mate,
well, he looked very relaxed and he looked very, very sharp, and like his head movement was that good, and I'm going, ooh.
I just think like Volk won round one for me, like he landed more on there.
Yeah,
I thought so too.
It's just more, I never thought that Volk was going to sleep him, but the way Ilya was throwing him, it was just like... That's a hard punch. Like, as in, try and get out of the way. But I just love that cunt, man, Volk. Like, as in, after that fight, how humble is he just to, like, full credit to Ilya? Yeah. Just saying.
I think.
Yeah. But, mate, it was just that feeling of when he just got drilled and then just sunk against the cage. It took me a couple of seconds to go, no, he's gone.
He's definitely.
Yeah, stiffed. It's heartbreak. Literally, your heart sinks.
He was. It's a weird one when they get knocked out like that too, because they're knocked out.
Yeah.
Proper, and they're he just sort asleep. Of laying there.
Yeah.
And he was out for ages too.
Yeah.
Fuck fella. Yeah. I think no one deserves a rematch more than Volk.
Yeah. He'll definitely.
Of other champions that have been given it. Izzy got fucking rolled by Pereira. Got a rematch and beat him.
Mm. Yeah, I just I just think in that scenario, it shouldn't even be a question. If Volk wants to do that, then he should be able to do it. And then if it's the same result or whatever happens after that, that's when the conversation should be. I think if the last fights he had where he lost against Islam and that, if that was at featherweight, then it's a totally different story.
Yeah,
but you got to remember, look, take the weight class above out. All of his featherweight fights, that's what you got to go off
100%.
In
this. Yeah. Take the fact that he got knocked out after 2 weeks of training against Islam and no one rules him out as much as they do. They go, oh, fuck, how did Volk lose that? Like, everyone's counting him out because he got slept by Islam and now slept by
it's
Ilya.
Like, look, it's not ideal.
They'll definitely make him have quite a long time.
Yeah.
Like, he won't be allowed to. I think there's rules that they can put in place where they're not allowed to spar and shit like that.
Yeah, depending on what the outcome is. Yeah. Excuse me.
I think regardless of what even happens from here on for Volk, he's, in my probably biased opinion, still better than Aldo. The goat of featherweight.
Easy.
Aldo was fighting plumbers, man, and then he fought an Irish plumber who just fucking got in his head that. That was so easily got in his head.
Yeah.
That was the best... fucking head noise of all
time. It's pretty, like, and this is coming from a hardcore Volk lover. Like, I fucking love that cunt. It's pretty impressive that Ilya literally lipped like he did and
man,
went out and
he
did
called
it.
A fight. He said second round knockout, didn't
dude,
he?
I think he said first.
I think he said first. If not the first, it'll be the second or whatever. But
changed his
like,
Instagram bio mate, to UFC featherweight champion 15-0.
Watched the embedded series. It's like a vlog series before it, and like. He had the belt on taking photos and our mate was there going, normally people don't touch it.
Bad luck.
Yeah, before they're a champion. And he goes, well, I'm not people. Like, rah, rah, rah. And I'm just like, that cunt.
Bro, if I was that fast and could throw hands like that, I'd be confident as fuck too.
It's honestly wild for me. Like, I talk about the comparison between Volk and Aldo, but even the comparison of Aldo champ for ages, undefeated young gun comes in, and smoked him in 13 seconds, and then it's like a fucking mirror image with Volk.
Mate,
really,
I've seen a heap of these memes, like the back tattoo's the same as Conor McGregor's. The steel in the belt and holding it up's the same as a press conference.
So many similarities, eh?
But I think it was a bit ridiculous, him calling Conor McGregor out after the fight. Like, dude, Conor's about 600 weight divisions heavier than that now. He's not going to come and fight you at featherweight.
Everyone wants to fucking call Conor out now because they know it's the money fight. Know it's everyone's going to watch it.
It always was. Imagine how much money, extra money
But, but I was reading something on Donald Cerrone, how he was saying everyone thought I was paid fucking overs for Conor McGregor's fight. He goes, I had a contract in place. I got paid normal.
From the UFC, but the pay-per-view numbers and that.
Yeah, probably the extras,
punished.
Everyone from featherweight to fucking welterweight at the moment calls Conor out.
Yeah. They're
Chandler's
not silly.
Still going. He was on WWE the other day, something calling out Conor. It's like, because Dana has come out and said the problem that we can't get Conor to fight is that he's got too much fucking
money. Yeah,
he's
got heaps of money.
Too much money.
He's done movies. He's got heaps of shit going on. He's contracted to go to all the premieres of the movies and shit.
Yeah, he's fucking, he's stout. Like, he's made that much money off that. Proper 12 as well. Like, he does not need to fight, and he has just got the fucking UFC on strings at the moment.
It would actually be that good. Oh, it is, sorry, that good watching videos of him with his kid because he's always like, Teaching him stuff. And you can tell straight away that he's like trying to discipline him. Yeah. He's like, no, Conor, no.
Yeah, Conor Jr. can fucking throw and he's like 4 or 5 years old, man. He's already got straight punches and like,
fucking
wow.
Wait, but the rest of that card though, just quickly, that Merab versus Cejudo. Oh, Merab
Davis
Lily,
yeah, that
impressive,
was
mate.
From the get-go.
That was like watching two bantam roosters.
Yep.
Just training.
All out.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty. They were into it though. It was such a high paced fight, and then Merab's fuel tank is so impressive. Mm. That embedded series I was talking about. They were running through his training, and they said this guy is a fucking animal. Like he'll do five minute rounds hard sparring, and go straight out to a big grappling session, just not even breathing.
His
like,
coaches.
He was standing in the corner in that fight, just standing there, just like talking to the cunts. And Zuckerberg was watching. He was more like, this is second, third round. He picked up Cejudo, who's a gold medalist at the fucking Olympics, and carried him over towards Zuckerberg like laughing and then had him in a choke at the end of the round, fucking around, looking at him. I'm going, what
He's
the
a different
fuck?
Animal, man. His coach come out and said after the fight, because you know how Aljamain Sterling is in his corner, he reckons him and AJ had a full fucking five-round fight in the dressing room before, like laying into each other, like getting warmed up. He just did five rounds against Aljamain and then came out for
not.
No, his coach came out and said it. He's like, yeah, they just went into it, went at it for a few rounds, and then, yeah, he came out and fought. Like, he is just a fucking different animal, man.
And he's funny as fuck.
I think
he's got a personality on him.
It actually really interests me. Like, if O'Malley beats Cheeto, and then that's the matchup then for the title, O'Malley versus fucking Merab. I think that's a perfect matchup because no one's going to outwork Merab. Like, no one's going to get more points than him. But O'Malley is the knockout artist.
Could knock him out.
So it's the can O'Malley knock him out? If he can, he wins. If he can't, then Merab's going to out fucking work him.
Yeah.
So it's
similar to what
Conor
and Khabib. Conor could knock him the fuck out, but then
Khabib
got
won. That's right. So I think it's pretty. It's an interesting matchup. Definitely. He still has to get through fucking Cheeto, but
I think he will.
What do you reckon of the kit on it?
Who's that?
Fucking
O'Malley. Oh, O'Malley the fur.
Oh yeah. I was just like, what is this?
That'd just be a cunt to wear, wouldn't it?
No shirt. Fucking
it's the most like, Sean O'Malley okay, thing ever, though.
Tough.
I reckon the Sunnies looked gammon as too. That's like servo Sunnies, man.
They were.
He I was like, where did he fucking get them from? Filled the car up, grabbed a pair.
Yeah,
filled
the this car will look tough.
Yeah. Just back to. Boy, I reckon he went in. And just these things.
Yeah.
Any fuel.
Just back to Cejudo. I think it's time for him to retire again. He had a plan. So he has retired.
Well, he
again.
Said before it. He said before the fight, if I lose, that's it.
I think he put the gloves.
Yeah.
Hey.
Fuck
sorry,
up. Boys.
Sorry about the sickness.
Yeah, because he came back with his plan.
He put the gloves in the ring, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, right. Well, that's fair enough.
He said before it, man, they said, what's the go? And he goes, I'm only here to fight for the title. So if I lose this and there's no path, that's it.
Yeah, well, that was his plan when he came out of retirement was beat AJ and then be the fucking champ and like, ooh. I can't remember exactly, but his plan from the start was to beat
there was three fights, Sterling. I think.
Yeah, three fights. And he's just lost two in a row. So it wasn't horrible in either of them, though. He just got...
Mate, you can't
a slight bit better.
Knock a bloke who was fucking unreal back in the day.
Like Dana said, he said he retired in his prime for no reason. Like he goes, when he retired, that was when he was like fucking in his prime.
Yeah, 100%.
Called it a bit early, maybe.
Yeah, but anyway, you give it a crack.
Yeah.
But I think he's gone.
I wonder if he sort of retired and went fucking a bit bored.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Lots of athletes would do that. Not Connor, though.
Ian Garry versus Jeff Neal. Like, obviously, it wasn't the most exciting thing, but I think Ian Garry just fought the fight he had to fight. Like, as in, he was just staying at a distance, tagging him more than Jeff Neal was tagging him.
Yep.
Like he said, Jeff Neal's got fucking... Literally, his name is Hands of Steel.
Who did he call out after?
Colby Covington.
Ian, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's probably a fair matchup. Because he'll go up in rankings now. Me and Gary probably go like 8th or 7th.
Yeah, he'll probably fight one more person, I reckon, before that happens.
Because Colby's sitting around that 3 or 4.
Oh, you never know. They might just fucking match it up.
Yeah, maybe. But, yeah, it wasn't the most exciting. But then, boys, Whittaker Costa.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a good dog fight, man.
Right. That was awesome.
So, Whittaker's obviously a karate background. Am I right there?
BJJ as well.
It must be karate because the way he just dives in with his jab... fucking scares the fuck out of me every time, eh? He sort of like jumps in.
That's one
of
his big things. He has that rush where he'll come in and just throw like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Like running in sort of thing.
It's not a snappy jab. He literally like leans in, dives in and then moves sort of after as he's throwing it.
You just got to give it to Whittaker. Like the nuts on that bloke. Costa was throwing fucking bombs, head kicks. Like those head kicks that he hit him with
in the first round.
Just
should have killed him.
I keep carrying on about that embedded thing, right? But I was watching it and Costa's coach was saying Whittaker's got good head kicks and he goes, watch Costa's head kicks this fucking fight.
Mate.
And that was the most dangerous thing that Whittaker had to face. Yeah. Like those head kicks 100%. Were fucking quick and just come out of nowhere.
So fast, eh?
Yeah.
I blinked in that first one because I literally said to my mates, I went, fucking hell, Costa's not doing much, eh? And then literally within 2 seconds, he just went, boss,
he definitely spin kick. Whittaker would have won the first round on all 3 scorecards if that head kick didn't happen.
Right. Yeah, that kind of shook it up.
It was good that it was unanimous, so 29-28, and then one judge still scored at 30-27.
Well, that's what the weird thing is, right? You look at the significant strikes, and if it was like 3 or 4 punches or kicks different, I'm like, I could cop that. But it was like 10 or 12, and I'm like, surely one good kick and it doesn't actually drop him.
Yeah.
Surely that doesn't mean that accounts for fucking 10 significant strikes.
Yeah, just because he wobbled a bit.
Because the other 4 minutes of that round, Whittaker was all over him.
But Whittaker definitely won that.
Definitely.
It was a great fight. I still reckon Costa, like I was nervous after that head kick going, ooh, fuck, he's got a powerful punch on him and Costa's got a chin like fucking granite. Like Costa wasn't really worried. Like Costa wasn't wobbled or anything, but Whittaker definitely won. He looked impressive as fuck.
I don't know whether the fighters genuinely believe that they've won when they lose like that. Like Costa obviously was going, putting his hands up and shit. And
Kane
I'm like,
on the whole fight too.
Mm, do they end up? Do they actually believe they've fucking won there, or do they? Is it all just for the show?
I don't know. Like I suppose, like Costa, remember he was pointing in the middle, like he was trying to suck
tongue
Rob
out.
In, trying to suck Rob into fucking getting the old dog fight.
Yeah,
I think Costa won at least one of the rounds.
I don't know about 30, 27. I scored it fucking three rounds to Rob because I didn't think that head kick accounted for fucking all the other in that round. That but if anything, that was the only round I reckon he could have.
Yeah. It was obviously only the first just because of that big kick at the end.
But great fight though. I don't think Costa's stocks go down at all. I think obviously Rob is now above him title shot talking wise, but I still think Costa. He's fucking right there under Rob, ready to fight the main contenders too because they were close as fuck.
He just needs to fucking show up more.
Yeah. Isn't he just fucking – you could climb that cunt. Paul O'Costa, that fuck is just chiseled.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
He's a fit human. Fit cunt.
Yeah. Like he is not eating dog's eyes.
No.
He is the most A-grade cunt you'll ever
see. I don't think he's had a beer for 3 years.
No, definitely not.
Sucked in.
Yeah, what a loser.
But, what do you think's next for Rob? Because like,
oh, fucks me.
It's probably going to be Izzy versus Strikers next. Because
I think Rob fights Strickland, definitely.
You reckon?
Yeah, for sure. Well, Rob's not going to fight sense. Strikers because he just lost to him. He's not going to fight Izzy because that's like I think he fights Strickland, which would be great.
That'd be cool.
And then whoever wins out of the other two, Rob's got to go because Costa. Mm-hmm. He's just beaten Costa. If he beats Strickland, then even though it's like that Holloway Volk thing, Izzy's fought him heaps of times, but if he's there chipping away and beating cunts,
you can't just not have a title shot because you've lost a few times.
That is a great shout. That'll be good. Fucking Whittaker Strickland.
And I think I reckon Costa should fight that Jared Cononier. So I reckon that's the two fights to happen to keep the division active while Dreykus and Izzy fight, and then it just depends on.
Boys, we've just sorted out that whole division for Dana.
No worries, Dana.
Yeah, Dreykus versus Izzy, and then Strickland versus Whittaker, and the winners of them two fight each other.
That's right.
There you go.
Fucking hell, fuck off, Dana. Just put us on there.
299 will be good.
Oh, that's a great.
That'll be another good card. Yep. That'll be coming up in a month. We've got heaps more scrapping too coming up with a few limits.
The headline announced, we'll cover this later, but Jamahal Hill versus Alex Pereira. First 300.
Yeah, but what do you do? Everyone's fucking. What are you supposed to do?
Nah,
you can't do anything when people are injured and this happens
and
that happens.
I think it's fine because the rest of the card's prime. Like every fight on that card's great. No, it's not like this thing that people thought was going to be like a magic thing where Conor was going to be fighting Khabib or something.
Well, that's what they made it out to be. They were like, this is going to be huge.
Apparently, Leon Edwards was keen and he was offered three
different people that said yes to all of them.
Yeah.
Well, Makhachev and Khamzat are out for Ramadan, so they can't fight. And then what's the other
bloke's name? Can you explain Ramadan? Is that a religion thing?
Yeah, so it's like I think it's like a 40-day period for the Islamic religion where they fast and they're like for a certain amount of hours a day they can't eat or anything. It's a very religious time.
Is it in April or March?
I'm not sure on the timing of the year.
I can't remember either. But yeah lots so of that, the... there'd be a few AFL boys that do it as well.
Yeah, right.
But they still actually play, so they must have fucking good dietitians.
Well, soccer players, there's plenty of Muslim soccer players as well, and you see them like at halftime, like in the middle of a game, they'll quickly run to the sideline, have a banana and drink some water. Like, can you imagine?
So that'd be an easy fucking month to be a dietitian.
Well, not really. It's not you can't eat. You can't not eat for a month.
What are they?
It's like heaps of hours in the day you can't eat. You can only eat at certain times. Yep. So they got to hook in when they can.
It's fair enough not wanting to fight in those conditions. Yeah, you're not going to be anywhere near as prepped as possible.
With the 300 thing, you can't just go, O'Malley would be ready now. I will just hold off a month. Like you've already got that planned. People just need to fucking go, righto, yes, it's cool. It's 300. But
Wait, did you see that tweet? So Darren Till, do you know him? He's got great lip on him.
Yeah, I think he's a scouser.
Yeah, and mate, funny. Bilal Muhammad.
That's the other bloke he's injured at the moment, isn't he?
No, I think he's keen, but he's just a snooze fest. I was worried that they were going to make Bilal Muhammad versus Leon Edwards the 300.
He's a jock sniffer,
and not entertaining.
Anyway,
he's a great fighter. But there's not one tiny bit of me that goes all Bilal's fighting.
Yeah.
So he posted this thing saying
who?
300 Bilal. Saying 301, 300, Ramadan, anytime, any place, fucking I'll get it done and you. And then Darren Till wrote, if you was fighting in my backyard, I'd close the curtains. And I was like, cunt, that is the best fucking call ever. Just drilled in.
So good, man.
Yeah. But anyway,
it's fucking right.
But 299-300, I was looking through them today, and we'll get to them, like, obviously before them and that. But fucking two great cards.
Yeah, regardless of the main event, it's still a bit of a letdown. There's so many fucking good fights.
Yeah, but it's still going to be a prime fight.
Oh, yeah. It's the champion versus the number one contender was bound to happen.
Can't argue Jamal Flats cannot win.
The Hill.
Yeah, Pereira is going to fucking dominate him, I think.
Boys, the Sunday Red was busted out for the first time by Tiger on the weekend. We've just moved on, by the way.
No, sweet.
Into the golf. The Genesis Invitational was on. Tiger had to withdraw, unfortunately, during his second round due to injury.
Is that when he shanked that ball?
No, he did do that. He's normal. Everyone was he's human.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, my back seized up. I'm like, no, excuses.
Yeah, but same. Mine does it every time.
Yeah, fuck, my back's shocking when I play.
Every second, like, shot my fucking back seized up.
We all want to see him back to his best, but I just don't know if it'll happen this time. But we wrote him off last time he come back from injury, and he ended up winning the Masters.
Yeah, 2019.
Again,
so how old is he? He's
47, I think. Yeah. 48, so... Like, Phil won a major when he was 50.
Yeah,
so,
51 or something. It's definitely doable.
Reports are saying, and this is probably just media pumping it up, that there's a bit of a conspiracy there because he wants to retire, but with his new clothing thing, he feels like he has to play so that he can promote it all.
It would make sense.
It does make a lot of sense, yeah. So,
because he didn't even there. The thing is, he didn't even withdraw because of his back. He had influenza, apparently.
Yeah,
he went into. He was crook as fuck, went in, got on the drip, and then, came out and did a press conference and said I had influenza. Poor bloke can't fucking win at the moment.
No.
But, he's aiming for, 12 tournaments? That was the first of 12. One a month. But, if you're already saying your back's season up and you're hitting shanks.
I think he needs a bit of deep heat, boys.
He does.
He fucking does.
Is that what we need to do? We need to get him a bit of extra strength.
We've actually been dipping into that.
We've had it for over 12 months, and now we've actually opened up and started to use it.
I fucking crammed the Vicks up my nose before this episode.
Do you want a vapor rub sniff?
I don't want to fucking
have a sniff of Vicks. Fucking, how's the tandem on these two cunts? Just he'll cough and then he'll cough and then he'll
come over to me.
But see, I'm sick. Jace just coughs fucking in his life.
He's
a sick ginger.
I was sick 3 weeks ago.
I got sick and now I'm struggling to not cough. Jace just lives with a cough.
Yeah. A sick ginger.
I got sick 3-4 weeks ago and I've had the cough ever since.
Oh, fuck, man.
My immune system just
honestly reminds me.
G1's just going to fucking give us a good hide.
Reminds me of when you were little. You just get crook.
Well, boys, I wish it didn't happen. It's all right, control it.
Well, I can't say anything.
I know you can't control it. It doesn't mean I'm not going to fucking give you shit about
it. I'll cop it.
We'll talk about what happened as well at the golf coming up in one of our other segments called The Standard Squeeze. This is a good shout for a squeezer there. But there was an equestrian Olympian, boys, by the name of Shane Rose. He got stood down from competition after wearing a mankini during a show jumping event in New South Wales. Footage is elite. Now, you obviously need to rise off your seat and sort of lean forward a bit.
Oh, beautiful.
As you jump over the
that
jumps.
That would have been just pressed against his rose.
That was pretty funny. But what happened was he was stood down by Equestrian Australia and the Olympics of this year in Paris. So there was dramas for him. But after a review, he was actually found to have not broken the code of conduct.
There's no rule that says you can't wear a mankini.
Well, yeah.
Well, he's covered.
Obviously, it wasn't black and white that. But
you can't dress up as Borat.
He wasn't broken. Didn't break the code of conduct. Shano's come out and said that his intention, obviously, was to have a bit of fun.
Fucking hell.
The fact that he had to say that is just proof.
For some reason, the leaders of the equestrian world, I can't see him being too fucking
exciting,
spontaneous, up and about, throwing jokes around,
So he said he just obviously wanted to have a bit of fun. He then said he doesn't recommend the G-string style of clothing while riding horseback.
No, yeah, so, I can't imagine that'd be too comfy.
But how good's this? This is a bit of fucking union mentality here, boys. Heaps of the other equestrian community, when they stood him down, they all changed their social media to a picture of Borat.
Oh, yes.
Until he got him.
That's so good.
Until, like, while the investigation was going. Fucking they had his
back. They're not great to do activities in, like, as in Norton Rogers passed away when we were younger and he's doing the Mankini run, and we did his 30th this year. Would have been his 30th birthday. So we all did it again.
Yeah.
And just running in that thing, mate, you used up your fucking hole.
Like motorbike jousting and shit too. That would have felt good.
Wrestling and shit. Yeah,
that would have felt real good.
Those two words, motorbike jousting, just fucking sounds like injuries, eh? Yeah.
Mate, it was an adult's playground out there.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I didn't see. Right. But yeah, that was awesome. He's all good. He's going to go to the Olympics. So the poor bloke, he's got two silvers and a bronze.
From Tokyo.
He's got two silvers. Yeah. One in Beijing, one in London, was it? Or maybe Rio. And he's got a bronze as well.
And
just like,
and a sore hole.
Fucking so close. He's 50 though this year, so he'd want to hurry up and get
a rig. What a fucking legend. Yeah, that's near captain material for me.
Fuck yeah.
What a fucking...
Everyone getting around him too.
I would never watch it. If I knew a bloke was going to do that, that'd be the only reason I'd ever fucking turn it off.
Well, imagine you're flicking through the channels and you're like, oh, equestrian, what the... Holy fuck, Borat's on a horse.
Have a go at this
guy.
Where's he from? Kazakhstan?
No. I'm surprised everyone got around him too, because they could have easily just been like, oh, that's scallywag.
Well, they did. But all the other people that do the show jumping, the
that's
actual
what I mean.
Fucking...
They could have said, he's a scallywag. Why is he wearing that?
Well, why are they English?
Fuck me, just posh, upper class. That's
straight away in
thought.
My straight away in my head, I'm like, oh my goodness. It's right in his hole.
Well, you can't, like, when you think of an equestrian, you don't go, fucking look at Jimmy in the mirror.
That is ghastly.
It's right in his hole.
It's up his hole. My goodness. But yeah,
get this
off
my screen.
I 100% think the leaders of equestrian, for some reason, are uppity pommy cunts.
They've got
it just fits, doesn't it? Imagine him going, like, fucking, that is just them.
They're not from fucking Bar Calden, are they?
Nah.
They are definitely.
We need to look that up. Where
we need to look at the commissioner.
Where did it come from?
The Equestrian Commissioner of Australia. We need to see what he sounds like.
Probably putting on an accent.
Anyway, good on you,
Shano. We started that NRL and AFL tipping comp. Thank God, you know, because it's fucking 20 days to go still. So we got that going. Same league or group, whatever you want to call it, for both comps. So it's the same thing. If you don't only want to tip in one, then just fucking tip in one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're in the same
comp. You join one group, you get the tip in both.
Yeah. They are separate, if you know what I mean by that. So when you go to the Reggies dash – hang on, I'll let you fucking pull over. Just give it five.
Open your ESPN app or download it.
3, 2, 1. So it's called the Reggies dash 2024 tipping. The Reggies dash 2024 tipping. And the password is all lowercase, no spaces, deep heat.
Heat is spelled with an E and an A for all you dumb fucks. Yes.
Deep heat, all one word. No capitals or anything.
And if you're not a good audio learner, head to the RRLC and you'll see.
That's true. This
where
is for all the people that aren't in there, because everyone else is sort of.
Well, what are we if thinking? You're not in there, you should fucking.
We'll
be.
Come up with a good prize too for the winner this year.
I think.
Something's going to be at stake.
And definitely. I think it's just a winner.
Yeah, fucking.
Because if you're not first,
all
you're
or
last.
Yeah, exactly.
The great Ricky Bobby. Did
second's
say that.
The first loser.
Yes, I do love that saying. So yeah. Get on there, fucking
get in there.
And tip. Well, I'll mention that a few more times, obviously, for everyone who doesn't hear it today. But yeah, that'll be good. Let's get it going again. I think we had near on 1,000 last year in there, so that was good.
Did.
See if we can beat
bigger
that.
And better this
it's
year.
So
always
a good bit of lip. I like having a fresh start because I was up to shit early last year. Like
we all were.
I think.
I was not.
Yeah.
I tumbled down the hill.
I get too excited too early and I look through team lists and I think that I've just found why this team will beat them even though they shouldn't and they just fucking don't. So I think this year I just won't overanalyze it and just go, they should beat them and just tip them.
Yeah, right.
For the first 10 rounds last year we said, if you're doing good at tipping, you know nothing
about
rugby league.
I'm just trying to reinvent the wheel and just...
Last year was one of those years,
it was a
though,
fucking hard one.
Yeah. Where... like the Finns went so well, beat the Roosters round one, and we should have fucking known then.
Yeah,
we should have. The back end started to be like, okay, that makes sense. But a little bit more. The first few weeks was, what the fuck do we do here?
Yeah. Righto, let's get into it. One of our biggest supporters, who's been with us from the start, I harp on about this every week, but it's because I love doing it. Yeah. These guys were sick of the old taking the glass camping, Tommy, as you know, boating to a party, whatever. It's in front of me. Yeah. And also just the annoyance of measuring your shots out. How much shit do you spill? Not that I, you know, used to measure too much, but I did, into a shot glass, fucking goes everywhere.
Everywhere. The drunker you get as well.
So they've gone and they've come up with a fucking cracking idea. It's
simple,
called the standard
effective
squeeze. Exactly. Everyone's done it. Everyone who's fucking got a two-stroke whippersnipper at home has done this in their lifetime with the world.
Everyone who's someone.
This is made out of food-grade plastic. It's got your little compartment, whether you want to get your 30 mil, 60 mil, 100 mil, whatever tickles you. You pour it in, away you go. The Reggies get a nice 15% discount when you use the code Reggie15 at checkout on thestandardsqueeze.com. Ash. Support them because, they're just fucking great people.
They support us, so you should
support
them.
They really do support us. So, and we love supporting them. So Jace has got a pretty good one, I think.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a bit of a discussion too about the golf.
All right.
So you
another
spoke
cough
about, yeah, just clean
your
your
turn.
Before
go.
I get in. Go, Tom, go.
I'll be there soon. Don't worry.
Surprised you're not going to put us for squeeze for coughing.
Yeah,
you hinted at it before with the golf on the weekend. Jordan Spieth. If you know anything about golf, you know that name. He played on Friday, second day, and returned his card and had signed an incorrect scorecard.
Well, let's just explain. So I'll just quickly explain how golf scoring works. So you get your card, right? You go and get it off whoever's running the tournament and you get your card. It's got your name on it. There's all the holes there for your marquee score. And whoever you're playing with, you go and hand them your card and you take theirs. Now, so they fill in your score for you, so you can't fucking cheat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, normally you fill in yours as the marker, right? You got player and marker. So you fill yours in on their card but in a different column just so that you can compare them at the end. That's how it works in like normal
Sundays of Calliope.
Yeah, Sundays of Calliope. Yeah. I don't know how it works on the PGA, but what's happened is...
So, he signed the incorrect scorecard, so... On the fourth hole, he got a par, and it was a par four, but he's put down...
Old mate.
The opposing player he teed off with has put down a three instead of a four. So after they grab their scorecards, the round's finished for the day, they head back to the trailer. You got the PGA official sitting there. You sit down, go through your scores, make sure it's all good.
Sign your card.
Hand it in. So he's done that and has obviously not fucking checked over it properly like he claims. He's took ownership for it, but Spieth has signed it, handed it in, and then PGA Tour has gone, no, you've handed in an incorrect score. You've given yourself one less stroke, disqualified from the rest of the tournament.
Yeah. Oh,
for a simple little blimp like that.
Completely so you're DQ'd if you do that.
But if you go and put five instead of a four, so you give yourself a worse score, they just go, oh, well, that's your fault. That's silly.
That's the score you get?
Yeah, you can keep playing, though.
Because you've given yourself worse.
Yeah, but it's still just a fuck-up. Like, obviously,
so
right.
There's obviously a bit of fucking human error here, but I think, for me, the squeeze has to go to PGA because that ruling has to be unchanged from the fucking 50s when old Jimmy and Bob were having darts on the course and three people were there to witness it and they'd go...
10 cans in them.
Fucking just chuck a... Give me a birdie for that
one
instead of a par,
eh? From cheating back then.
But now you have hundreds of cameras, thousands of people there, everything digitalized.
Yeah.
The broadcasters score it themselves as well. Mm. There's no way Spieth was cheating.
There's no way he thought, I'll get away with this.
That's
right. Yeah. No, 100%, man. If you can tell that he was trying to weasel something,
but there'd be no way.
Exactly. Absolutely no way. Fuck off, PGA, you squeeze.
At best, say, oh, incorrect score, like give him a penalty stroke or something, like yeah. add one on. But a complete disqualification, he was sniffing around the top two. That is a big payday he misses out on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like just, he should have looked over it better, yes, but
they shouldn't.
Hell, man.
They shouldn't even score nowadays.
100%.
They shouldn't even score themselves.
Imagine going out there playing around golf and you fucked your whole day because of the way you score.
Cunt, I don't even want to score and I'm on the piss in a fucking golf cart, let alone if it was your job. You should have old yeah. Joe sniffing off
They've
your
They've got caddies there, all the thousands of people watching. Like, there's like no say, way it's his responsibility.
The broadcast scores it themselves because you've got the leaderboard yeah. always there. So
yeah.
the fact that you even need to pencil out a card and yeah. then sign it is pretty stupid.
I think
in this day and age. But that's always been traditions, and I do like traditions.
Golf is a sport of tradition.
Correct.
But this is a perfect example of some shit's got to change with time.
Yeah. DQ'd from
that's very rough.
Disqualification for that, that's fucking squeeze worthy for me, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, lock that in.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy. Not like even it. Anything else. That's
he probably would have got at least like 250,000 to 500,000 for that tournament as well. Yeah. At least.
Yeah, he wouldn't need it, but yeah, I agree.
No, he doesn't need it, but still.
Yeah, sweet. PGA then. I wasn't sure if we were going to give it to who did he play with?
I can't remember.
So our mates just fucked him.
Yeah. Our mates just stitched him up.
Yeah. But like I said, the fact that they didn't look at their car, surely they got a score as a marker. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, how the fuck are you going to remember what you got on hole two? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, like, shit, did I?
If you're only letting him score you,
yeah.
then fucking hell, I don't know.
I thought the caddy would take down the scores as well.
Probably does. I don't know. But anyway, there's a lot of squeezing going on.
Yeah.
Well done. You've just got yourself a few people to blame for it.
Yeah.
PGA. And another legend who supports us here makes the best hats in the country, mate. Country Trucker Caps. Bringing you CTC Captain of the Week. Head to countrycompanies.com for all the designs and knuckles got ready to go. Countrytruckercaps.com for, design your own. You can design whatever you want. So get around him and the team there.
You'll be seeing him this weekend, won't you?
I will, mate. He's coming down to Newcastle. Fucking will Beautiful. Be plenty happening there.
Ripping and tearing.
Yeah.
I've just got Annabelle Sutherland for me. Double century and taking 5 wickets in a test match. Yeah, you
can't
really.
I can't get past that. As soon as you told me earlier, I went, fuck me, that's captain worthy.
Other than fucking Shano. Shano Rhodes, the equestrian rider.
Yeah, Shano is a good sniff, but I mean, that's pretty good.
Double century.
Yeah.
A test double century.
Yeah. I'll cop that.
Yeah. Good on you, Bell. That's Great what we stuff. That's what we call it now.
Okay, yeah, on your belt.
We're on a nickname basis.
Yeah. we'll wrap it up there, eh, boys? Massive Fucking weekend right. ahead again. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
We'll do a bit of research next week too, so we have our top eights and that sorted, ready for the thing.
Top eights because that went
full
so well.
Season preview.
Yeah, fucking nice. Nah, it'll be good.
Yeah, and we'll obviously see you Friday morning for the punch-up.
And make sure, too, if you fucking haven't got yourself a 4-in-1 yet, there's still some left, plenty of baggy Regs. This fight night, if you want to show your support to the Regs, fucking rock up in a baggy Reg.
Yeah, fucking
You know, that's what sticks out like black balls on a white dog. So fucking go and buy one, put it on your dome and steam in there.
We want to see the crowd of Regs, just a sea of fucking them oath. As we're biffing.
Bloody oath.
Exactly.
Righto, we'll see you Friday morning.
All right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.